Welcome to the Healing Trauma as a Christian Mama podcast. My name is Danielle Elizabeth, and here we dive into emotional healing and trauma recovery from a Christian perspective, also while integrating psychology and trauma modalities to support your healing and growth. This season, we are going to be looking at different tools and exercises and strategies that can go along with your healing journey. This is not meant to replace therapy. It is something that can come alongside to support your therapy, or if you are not able through time or finances to be working with somebody, this can be something that can help you keep moving along. So let's get into today's exercise. So the first thing I ever do with a client is a safety plan. When you are coming from a trauma-informed perspective, safety is like of the utmost importance. If you're working with someone who says they're trauma-informed and safety is not the center of everything, that is a big red flag, because safety in trauma, it's like you cannot go without it, if that makes sense. So the first thing I do with every single client is we create a safety plan. And I'm going to go through the four kind of main steps that we go through and help you create your own safety plan. Now, a lot of times when I work with someone, they're not in an immediate crisis all the time, right? Like, yes, they might be having hard days, but there's not this overwhelming crisis that I need to call the hospital or call the police or something like immediately, right? Like, thankfully, I've never had to do that, but that is a possibility when you are working within this world. But it doesn't mean we do not make a safety plan. It doesn't mean that only if someone's at XYZ place in their life, or if they're saying certain things, that we make a safety plan. Like, this is something that I truly believe every person should have, because you don't know what's going to happen in your life. There's a lot of people I know who are like, I don't struggle with my mental health at all. I'm fine, totally fine. And they're being very genuine. And something happens in their life that they could have never predicted, whether it's a huge loss, whether it's just something that comes in and completely turns their life upside down. And they could have never predicted that. And so they would be like, at one point would have been like, yeah, for sure, I don't need a safety plan. Like, I'm fine. I have good support around me. I have, like, you know, like, I've got all the things in place that I would think I would need. But you really don't know how you're going to react when those things happen. And life is messy. Life is unpredictable, and things happen that are tragic, and it's unfortunate, but it is a reality of life that we need to create the space for. It doesn't mean we need to be anxious about all the things that could happen and all the what ifs, because trust me, if anybody gets it, that is me. I get stuck in those cycles of all the bad things that could happen, but we can't also deny it. Right? We also have to know that, like, that's a possibility, that there are things that could happen that we would never expect. And what are we going to do when that happens? And so that's another reason a safety plan is really important. So the first thing in our safety plan is I want you to envision a scale, kind of, okay? And on one end of the scale, it's a 0. And on the other end, it's a 10. At a 0, you are the most calm, cool, collected you've ever been in your entire life. Like, it is just like the most zen place. Like, I don't know if anyone actually lives in this place of 0, but I'm going to imagine it's probably like what heaven's like, okay? 0. A 10 is like you are the absolute worst you've ever been doing mentally, emotionally, all the things, to the point where, like, severe intervention needs to be taken place. Like, you are beyond the point of not safe for yourself or others. Okay. So that's 10. So that's a really important scale that we're going to use to make this safety plan. So what you do is you picture this scale, and as you progress up this scale, let's say you're at about a 3 or a 4. You're not really like doing too bad, but things are starting to escalate, okay? What we're going to notice at this point is a lot of our red flag behaviors, okay? And so in the first part of our safety plan, we put our red flag behaviors. So these are things like, I will always use myself as an example because I think it's just easier and I'm not calling anybody out and anything like that. So for me, it's like when I start to see myself, I'm not exercising regularly. I'm not journaling regularly. I'm not doing my morning routine regularly. I'm withdrawing socially. I'm emotionally eating. I might be using things, whether that be, I mean, in the past it would have been maybe alcohol, or in the very far past, like any level of drug or pills or anything like that. Whenever these red flag behaviors are popping up regularly, like, I mean, it's different if like one time you like you're having a glass of wine. It's not like, oh my gosh, all my red flag behaviors are here, this is bad. Or one morning you, a few mornings you miss something, right? Or a few days you miss something in your routine. That happens. That's life. We go through seasons of not doing these things. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's something super, super wrong. It's when these things are kind of happening in a pattern, they're happening regularly, and there's probably multiple of them happening at once, right? These are red flags that your mental health is starting to decline and you are starting to escalate up the scale. So in the first section, you are going to write all of your red flag behaviors, because we're all different. We're all complex. We're all have different vices, right? Maybe you're noticing you're escaping into social media more regularly. You're on your phone more regularly. You're numbing. You're avoiding people or places or things. You're avoiding your emotions. Like, these are all examples to get you thinking about what are my red flag behaviors, okay? So that's the first thing you're going to write down. And these are things you're also going to start looking out for, right? Like, because you might not think of it as I ask you these questions. You might not think about all the red flags that you do. But as things happen over the next weeks and months, you might have rough mental health days or weeks, and you're like, oh, these are my red flag behaviors. I didn't realize that I did that when I get really stressed out. Okay, so you're gonna write those in, and you wanna almost have this as like a living document that is something that you can continue to add to as you see things. The second step of our safety plan is about your self-soothing behaviors. So we want to get an idea of what tools and strategies and skills do you already have in your toolbox that maybe you don't use all the time, but you've used them at some point and they've been helpful. Maybe you've even like heard of them and just tried it once or twice or something, or you just know something that is good. Like, a lot of people know that like different types of breathing can be helpful. A lot of people know that cold plunging can be helpful for some people, not for all people, but for some people. A lot of people know meditating can be helpful. Like, they're things that you maybe have heard of if you really can't find anything that you've already done or tried. But in this section, you're going to write your self-soothing behaviors and self-soothing things that you have in your toolbox. So these could be things like, you know, I smell essential oils. I like cold showers, or maybe I don't like them, but I do them. maybe you do cold plunge. Maybe you journal. Maybe you have a friend that you reach out to. Maybe you go on walks when you're upset, or even drives when you're upset. That's like actually a really common one that I've seen on a lot of people's lists for this, is going on drives. Maybe it's listening to music. So you're just going to put here all the things that you can think of that could be helpful. So if you think back to the scale, our red flag behaviors start to show up around a 3 or a 4. And then as you escalate up the scale, you are going to be at a 5 or a 6, let's say. And you're going to start your self-soothing behavior. So these are things that you're going to try to remember to do when you find yourself escalating. Now, at this point, especially if you're at the very beginning of a healing journey and you're not working with anybody or anything, you might not remember to do all these things every time. Because when you get triggered and you start escalating up that scale, the prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that is responsible for thinking and memory and all the, like, remembering things like this, it goes offline. So you've maybe noticed that there's, like, you know, things that you know, and then you get triggered and you get overwhelmed or you get stressed out and you're like, why didn't I try and do that? Like, why didn't I do that? And it's because it's not like commonplace things that you do. So you don't have access to them when you're in that state. So right now we're just getting a baseline of what skills, tools, and strategies you have. And kind of what you're going to start to try and do is try to utilize one or two of them as you're escalating up the scale. This is why we write it down. Because, again, your brain goes offline, not your full brain, but the brain that really help, parts of your brain that really help you think clearly and rationally and remember these types of things, is not available right now. So having it on a piece of paper, or like I like make this safety plan a one sheet thing that I have access to, whether it's on my phone, whether it's on paper, something that I can go to. And I say this to all my clients too, like you use this in these moments. So you want to have access to it. And you're going to just put all of those in there. Okay. So all the self-soothing behaviors, it can be a myriad of things, but you want to just try and put as many as you can think of, because different things work in different moments, right? There are times where like a warm bath would be so helpful for me. And there's other times where my life doesn't allow me to go just have a bath or go and go for a run, or right, like it's not feasible. I've got four little kids and I can't always do all the strategies. And so you want to have things that you can do in different scenarios, when you have different availability, different things like that. So you're going to pick things that are easy and quick to do. You're going to pick things that are when you do have more time. Right? So there are times where you can go have that bath or go for that run, but there's also times where you're like, I have like 5 minutes to do something right now, or this is going to escalate more. So, and you can also do things that are kind of are one thing, but you can do it, you can have different variations of it. So let's say my one thing is like cold plunging. So if I've got a lot of time, I could go down to a lake where there's open water, I could get in it. But let's say I don't have that much time, I could do a cold shower. But let's say I really don't have a lot of time, I can do, you know, you hold an ice cube in your hand, you put the ice cube on your face, you could fill a bowl of cold water and do a face dunk. You can splash cold water on your face or your back of your neck or your wrists. So if you see, it's kind of the similar strategy, but you're doing it, you have different variations to do it depending on how much time you have, how much capacity you have. There are going to be times where you are triggered and overwhelmed, and even though you know what to do, you're not going to do it because you're resisting yourself and you are not willing to do it. So you want to have a big repertoire of stuff to use or to pick from, because there's just going to be days where you're like, I hate that strategy today, even though it's my favorite one. Like, you just will. Given what's going on or how you're feeling, all the things. So that's what you're going to do. That's step two, going to put that all written down in this safety plan. Step number three is you are going to write out your people. Okay. So the third step is, who are your people? Okay. Who are the people that you can reach out to as you escalate from that five or six upwards in the scale? You have noticed that these red flags are happening. Now they're probably, all the symptoms are happening, right? You might even now be, you're very likely in fight or flight mode, or freeze mode, or you are now having even physical effects of what's going on. Maybe like your heart rate's going, you are panicky. You are overwhelmed, right? It shows up differently for everyone. So I don't want to just say panicky because there's other ways that this manifests in people. So there's not just a one thing, but you are activated very likely. You are out of your window of tolerance for sure by this point. So who are the people that you can call that are going to be able to be safe people for you, right? Like, we have a lot of people who are in our lives who, you know, if we were really in a crisis, they would definitely show up, but you're not going to feel totally safe with them. And you're like, cause they just don't know maybe all of your story. They don't know how to talk to you when you're in these places. Right. So you're going to put people in this that like are people that you can call in these moments. So this could be like, you know, family members, this could be good friends. Maybe it's even coworkers. Maybe it's people from church. Maybe it's anybody. You're going to know your people, right? I want to really emphasize an important point. It is okay if this list is not exhaustive. I have had people who I've worked with who are pulling teeth to put one person on this list. That's actually more common than you would think. So if that's what your list is right now, that's okay. If your list is 10 people, that's also okay. You know, you want to make sure that the right people are speaking into your life at these moments. And it's going to be people that you can co-regulate with, people that are going to validate you, that are going to empathize with you, that are going to, you know, be able to talk with you when you're not really being your most rational self. You're very activated. You know, it's the people that can be that person for you. Okay. So you're going to write that in there because again, by the time you're at a 7, you are not even thinking clearly at this point anymore, right? So you might know that like your friend is that person for you, but you're like in fight or flight mode. So you don't even remember who you are at this moment, at points of this moment of this time. And so this is again why we write all this down, because you can go and be like, oh, right, my aunt. Oh, right. My friend. Oh, right. My coworker. Right. Like, oh, that lady in my small group that I've been connecting with. Like, oh, right. Right. We need that reminder sometimes, especially when we're in these modes. So that is step 3. The last step, number 4, is the professional supports that are available to you. These are not supports that maybe you've ever used, but they are available to you. Okay. So these are going to be things like, is there a hospital in your town? Is there a mental health crisis line that you know of? A lot of places have ones that are either national numbers that you can call, or there's ones that are like specific to your area that can actually help you get connected to more resources in your area. Things that you don't even know about, right? Like you could be like, call them and you're like, okay, this is what's happening. And they're like, oh, we have a group that meets that supports this. Like, do you want their contact? Let me get you connected to them. Things that you wouldn't even know about unless you called them. So you're going to put things like that on your list. You're going to put therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, like anybody that is a professional that you have worked with. You can put people on this list that like maybe you've worked with in the past, you're not currently working with, but you know that if you were like, because at this point you were at like a 9, as close to a 10 as you can be, maybe even at a 10. And so at this point, it's like you are needing some more significant intervention, and you know that that therapist that you worked with last year, if you call them in a crisis, they would show up for you. They would help you. They would get you to the place that you needed to be safe, kind of thing. So you can put those people on here, because I know for myself as a coach and future therapist, like if one of my old clients called me and was in that much of a crisis, I would do what I could do, right, to show up for them and to help them. I would never just leave them being like, oh, sorry, you're not my current client. You're at a 9. Oh, that really sucks. No way, right? People that are in these careers are here because they want to be able to help people in these places. So yeah, you're going to put just anything, pastors, any professional support that is available to you. If you live in a bigger area, you're going to have like different, like actual very specific mental health, even like resource centers and stuff like that. I know that even in my little town, and I don't live in a big town, there's one for kids. Like, it's like a family mental health resource that we have, and they have a crisis line. So like, that would be something I would put on my safety plan if I needed it, right? So you can, like, in if you don't have a lot of knowledge about this stuff for your area, like, Google is amazing for this, right? Like, you could be like, I think you can Google like anything near me now. Like, you'd be like, food near me, like XYZ near me. So you could even put in like mental health support or mental health resources near me, and it will use, like, you know, it will take the area around you and give you all the options. So you can even really easily write all this down. You're going to write that down, write all the contact information down and stuff like that, so that you, again, don't have to think too much. And obviously, if you're at that place, the better you can get yourself to, like, you know, if you really do need to get yourself to the hospital, you can get yourself there. At this point, you've probably, if you follow this safety plan, hopefully other people are involved, and they could help you get to these more professional resources as well. But again, this is a pretty simple safety plan. There's definitely more intricate ones that are out there that are really good. What I find is that when you are in these places where you are escalating up that scale, you don't have a lot of capacity to do a lot of thinking. And so the more complex ones, as great as they are, can be overwhelming to even try and go through, right? You're like, okay, if I'm here, I'm going to do this. If I'm here, I'm going to do this. And you're like, I can't even think, like, what am I doing? What am I feeling? I don't know. Right. So this simple, like, using the scale and asking yourself, like, on that scale, where am I right now? Okay. I'm at a six. Okay. I'm going to try two self-soothing things, and I'm going to call the first person on my list and reach out to them and see if they can help me right now. Right. So yeah, so that's a safety plan. I would really highly, highly encourage you to put one together for yourself, even if you are doing absolutely fine, even if you do not feel like you would ever use it. If you never use it, that's great. That's a win. But if you are in a position where you need a safety plan, it is going to just be so beneficial for you to already have it in place. And really, I mean, I know I've been talking for a long time, but I've been explaining it. It's not going to take you that long to write some of these things down and just have it, right? Put it on the notes on your phone if you really don't want to even write it out, right? Like, just having that as even a backup is just assurance that if you escalate to a point that you know that is overwhelmingly hard for you, or you've never been before, having this is going to take the guesswork out of it, take the thinking out of it, and just give you a solid plan for what you can do to help yourself until you can get back down to a more regulated place. That is it for today's episode. I hope what you learned today or heard about today can be something that really benefits your life. As always, if you need more support, please never hesitate to reach out. I am sometimes accepting new clients. Sometimes I've got some free resources that I can send along. And sometimes it's just a friend to develop a relationship with that can understand what you're going on and validate your experiences. And if that's all I can be to you, I am so happy to do that. So reach out if that's where you're at. If not, have a great day and talk to you next time.